T-Mobile and Sprint expect their merger to get U.S. national security approval as early as next week, after a promise from their parent companies to consider curbing the use of equipment from China's Huawei technologies. The news follows the arrest of Huawei's chief financial officer in Canada, which has sparked an international crisis and has put even more strain on relations between the U.S. and China.
It might look like a conventional leather jacket, but it's actually made from pineapples. Yep, that's right, the prickly fruit usually found in the grocery aisle. This is Piñatex, a vegan product made from pineapple leaves that a Spanish entrepreneur says could end the era of cowhide production. Carmen Hijosa is the brains behind this sustainable product. She created her company Ananas Anam to market Piñatex after leaving her job in leather design due to its environmental impact.
Facebook firing back after a New York Times report said the social network gave other companies far more access to users' data than it had previously disclosed. In a blog post, Facebook admitted that it allowed companies, including the New York Times and tech giants like Netflix and Spotify, to read people's private messages. But it denied it did so without users' consent and said it violated no FTC rules.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Opening Bell. I'm Paul Lisnick from WGN-TV. I am in for Steve Grzanich this morning. My pleasure to spend the morning with you and cover all that is happening in the business world. This morning's show is going to be really interesting. Imagine taking an attorney, a mediator, an arbitrator, and match him with a physician, a doctor. And what do you get? You get the fashion industry's finest team pairing in women and men's apparel. We're going to be talking with Mark Roscoe and Eli Soto today about their new label, Eli Roscoe. Fascinating how they got together. Fascinating how it got created. We're going to spend the morning with them. But first, on the Associated Bank Market Desk, let's take a look at some of the pre-market numbers. The S&P is down over 60 points, about 65 points. The NASDAQ down about 180 points. Over in Europe, the FTSE down just over 35 points. The CAC down just under 68 points. The Asian market, Shanghai down about 6.5. And the Hang Seng down over 102. So starting as a red day here on the day after Christmas. Some news that's happening this morning. President Trump on Tuesday reiterating that the U.S. Federal Reserve was raising interest rates too quickly, but added that U.S. companies were the greatest in the world and presented a tremendous buying opportunity for investors. They're raising interest rates too fast because they think the economy is so good. But I think that they will get it pretty soon, the president told reporters in the Oval Office, referring to the U.S. Central Bank. A federal judge on Monday ordered North Korea to pay more than $500 million in a wrongful death lawsuit filed by the family of Otto Warmbier. He was the American college student who died last year after suffering severe brain injuries during his 17-month imprisonment there. Japan will withdraw from the International Whaling Commission and resume commercial whaling from July, it said on Wednesday, abandoning a decades-old campaign to persuade the commission to allow it to hunt whales commercially. The announcement drew criticism from anti-whaling groups and others, with Australia saying it was extremely disappointed, New Zealand regretting the resumption of the outdated and unnecessary commercial killing of the ocean mammals. Let's say hi to my guests. Again, as I mentioned, one, a lawyer, a mediator, an arbitrator, Mark Roscoe, but also very well known in the women's fashion world for some incredible designs. It's actually how I came across him, seeing him, his work at various fashion shows and charities, and also things like the Emmy Awards that I attend. And you always know when somebody's in a Mark Roscoe design. And then over time, I met Dr. Eli Soto, who's a doctor of internal medicine at Amida Health. And the fact that these two connected in the business world to create what will be an upcoming line known as Eli Roscoe Design, I found the story fascinating. And for business people, for entrepreneurs, for folks who are out there who sort of like incredible stories of success in the business world, I thought, let's meet these guys and find out how it all happened. So Mark and Eli, welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Paul.
So, Mark, let me start with you. I want to put a little bit of information out there about your career because, yes, now women know you as an incredible fashion designer, men soon to know you as an incredible fashion designer, though you do have some menswear out there. But that's not where you started. You were a prosecutor in the past.
I was. I was a prosecutor for 2 years before entering the private practice of law, focusing primarily in family law, which I've done for the last 35 years. So it's been a good career, but it's nice to shift gears and find other joys in my life, and the design industry has brought that to me.
And Eli, your world is interventional pain management. Again, right. Hard to see the connection to, we'll get to the connection to design, but talk about a little bit about your background because you've lived in many, many places before you ended up here in Chicago.
Yeah, I was born in Puerto Rico. Moved to the States. Actually, I lived in Spain before I moved to the States in 2006. I lived in Salamanca, Spain, Madrid, and Barcelona before I moved here. Then moved to Boston. I trained there. That's what I did my residency for 3 years. Then moved to D.C. To do a fellowship there in hospice and palliative care. Then moved to New York for 3 years. I did interventional pain management there. Worked for a while. Mount Sinai, Beth Israel, then moved to Miami because I wanted to be closer to my family in Puerto Rico, then ended up here in Chicago, and I'm staying here for a while. So
yeah, well, Mark hopes so too as well. Yeah. For the business, you hang around. So Mark, let's take it to the next step. So here you are practicing law and doing these things, which you still do, right? You still work, I know, as a mediator.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where did the fashion thing start? Because part of your training, and I say this because I'm thinking of listeners out there who, you know, think, well, I can't do something that might even be my passion or something I want to do because it's not my educational background. It's not my training. So therefore, I can't do something. How did you bridge from the world of law into fashion design, which now is so important to your career?
It developed out of necessity. My mom was a plus-size woman. And every time she went out on a shopping excursion, she came back empty-handed and in tears. And it just broke my heart every time I saw her. So I purchased a sewing machine, and I taught myself how to sew, and I began making clothing for her. And as she started to feel better about how she looked, she started taking better care of her. And so, and that's kind of how the brand began, because other women and other men who also had body challenges realized that they could look as good as they could, you know, possibly look, and through our designs. And that's how the brand of Mark Roscoe Design started.
But again, your training at the time was that you didn't go to one of the, you know, design schools and all that.
Correct.
Sort of thing. So is it fair enough to say, Mark, that that part of having a skill, at least in this industry, I'm sure it's true in others, there has to be a knack to it. It has to be part of who you are, or could, I mean, I don't think I'm a fashion designer. Could I be one?
And I think for me, it was an innate talent. I mean, there are things that I was creating and mechanical skills that I was never taught, but just knew how to do from an architectural standpoint. I was always good with, you know, building things, designing rooms and homes and that kind of thing. And we grew up, my dad was, you know, very good at building, so he taught us just the basic architecture, which is no different than designing for a person's body. So it came very naturally to me, and you're right, I had no training in it, but it's something that I felt very comfortable, and it was a good fit for my personality.
Eli, so there you are doing pain management, and again, you still have a patient base that you work with. You work
yes.
with patients in hospice care. I mean, so important, and I know that, and I've spent time with you, and your phone's always going off, and you're on call, and you're living the doctor's life. How did you make the connection into the fashion world? And by the way, our listeners can't see you today, but they should only see. I mean, this is very early in the morning, and I am dressed appropriately for early in the morning, if that creates, and you guys are in these gorgeous suits, incredible suits. But anyway, talk about, Eli, how you got there, and then I want to talk to you about that vintage suit you're wearing.
Yeah, so I think the different places where I lived, that has had a lot of influence in terms of what I'm doing right now in terms of the fashion world.
Yeah.
I lived in Spain earlier during my life. That was part of my medical training. Then living in New York City, living in Miami, that had a lot of input into that. Then getting here, living here in Chicago, I created the Club Dandy Chicago. It's a group of guys that we dress up here in the city. Some of us dress vintage, others more modern. That's part of an international movement also, that is Club Dandy International. That's how we met. Actually, through some pictures, we met at, I met Mark doing these type of things. And that's how we became friends, actually. And, mm-hmm. and I don't have a training either. But obviously, Mark is kind of holding my hand and doing this type of things. And I have a very eclectic sense of fashion. I can blend very vintage style with modern style. And I think that's something that it draws a lot of attention to a lot of people.
So I imagine when patients come in to see you, you sort of say, well, that's a nice outfit you've got on there.
Yeah.
You kind of connect.
Yeah. In terms of, I do pain management during the day and hospice during the weekends, and you can see the reaction from different type of patients, actually. And they always compliment my office.
So I want to talk for a moment about the difference in style briefly. So as I said, Eli, you're wearing, I think that's a vintage suit.
No, this is modern.
Oh, this is modern. Well, what do I know? I'm not a it's really cool looking, but I've seen you in vintage suits. Yeah. So you actually, I know part of what you can do is take like fabrics or suits that were made in the 70s or 30 or various times and make them work today. Is that because some of the styles and expectations today is everything that goes around, it comes around, and we're back in some of those modes sometimes?
Yeah, a lot of the inspiration actually is back in, it depends on the era. It could be 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, which is my personal preference. So if we're talking a little bit about about what we do, is taking those classic styles and incorporate that into the modern styles. That doesn't always work, but we try to make it work as much as we can. We have to be careful with that, because otherwise, again, it doesn't always work.
All right. Mark Roscoe and Eli Soto, they are the creators of the new design, fashion design for men called Eli Roscoe Design. He's a lawyer. The other is a doctor, and yet we get fashion out of them. Mark, talk to me about your design, because while Eli is into vintage and various things, you are not that. And as I've said, I've been to Emmy Award shows, charity benefits, and I always know when I see a woman in a Mark Roscoe Design, because, and I don't know a lot about fashion, but I got to tell you, your designs to me are absolutely incredible, just amazingly elegant.
Thank you, Paul. We focus on timeless classic silhouettes, especially for our women. And since we do all custom work, everything obviously is made specifically for the client for whom we're designing. And so it's all about the fit, and it's about bringing out their inner personality in the garment that we design for them. But it also allows, when you create a timeless classic piece, it allows a woman to actually build a wardrobe instead of buying trendy garments. She's buying for, a garment that she could wear years to come. What we're doing with the men's line is also doing that same kind of design aesthetic, where that men can build wardrobes, mix and match pieces within the line that we're creating, but also take a jacket like similar to what Eli has on and pair it with a pair of jeans and a ankle boot lightly laced up and create an entirely different look. Pair it with another pair of pants and a tie and wear it to the office and still look appropriate.
So what do you say? Listen, businessmen, businesswomen, I'm sure, understand the need for having something made custom and all of that. So a couple of things, and maybe they're myths and maybe they're reality, which is, number one, people would say when you're buying custom, you're spending so much more money than being able to go to a department store and buy a suit. And then secondly, some might say, look, I don't, I'm not on television. I'm not in a very public way. Why do I need to be in something that is custom fit? So in terms of the cost or the need for it?
Well, from a need standpoint, we design for a lot of women in Chicago who attend society events. And for women, they don't like to walk into a room and see someone else in the same garment. So when I create a garment for a woman, I select a particular fabric and a particular pattern, and then I don't repeat that for anyone else. So they leave our studio with truly a one-of-a-kind piece, and so they don't have to worry about walking into an event and seeing someone across the room wearing the same garment. And so there's that benefit there. From a price standpoint, it's governed by a budget. If someone comes to us and they say this is our budget, we work within that budget. A lot of it is dictated by the price of fabric. If we're dealing with a heavily beaded fabric that's $300 or $400 a yard, obviously the garment's going be more than someone who comes in and says, my budget is $500. We will work within that budget. So, you know, I think that it's a misnomer to believe that custom means you have to pay a lot of money. That's not the case. Custom means for us, it's going to be a great fit. And for many people, that's more important.
So, Eli, while Mark's work is women and men, you concentrate on men's design. And so I'm sort of curious, is there something special about the men's design? Is that just sort of you're a guy, so you understand what men wear and you relate to that more? Why not women for you?
Yeah, well, definitely I don't. Growing up, my mother definitely used to sew a lot and a lot of women dresses, but that's not something that I'm comfortable doing. But I definitely understand and menswear, and I take it up a notch because of all the experience and the traveling that I've done and living in other places. So I'm very comfortable putting different type of styles together and colors together. Normally you wouldn't do. But very European oriented styles, I would say. And also to comment on what Mark just said, in terms of pricing, and so for the regular body type here, for example, in Chicago, if you buy something off the rack, normally for that suit to fit well, you probably have to tailor it anyway. So that adds to the cost of something off the rack if you really, really want it to fit well. So we're talking about, you know, that would add to the cost. So if you have something bespoke or tailored, I mean, made to measure, then, you know, the price is comparable.
You know, you raise an interesting point, which is sort of for somebody with a regular body type or something like that. I noticed you looked away from me when you said that. But there are many body types out there, and there may be some saying, do we have to be, I mean, again, but for folks who can't see you right now, which, you know, I mean, you guys, you're fit, you're thin, you make sense that you dressed as you are. But then people wonder, what about me? I'm regular. I'm a little bit, have a bit of a tummy or something like that. How do we play with it? So, and we're continuing our conversation on fashion design for women, but especially now for men, with a new label, which is called Eli Roscoe Design. The founders are Mark Roscoe of Mark Roscoe Design and Eli Soto, Dr. Eli Soto, again, he's a lawyer, he's a doctor, they've come together for this design. But Mark, let me ask you, for folks, you know, we're talking about these designs and what they look like, but for folks who want to kind of check out what some of this looks like now, where can they go on the web?
Social media, Instagram, you could follow us at Roscoe Couture for the women's line and at Eli Roscoe for the men's line. Also, our website is markroscoedesign.com. The Eli Roscoe component of that is still under construction. We'll be launching the line actually in March of 2019, but you could get a flavor for what we're doing and how to contact us through the website.
So brand new, and one of the cool things, one of the things that at least has suggested to me that what you're about to do for men is going to be fairly hot, Eli, is an organization called PT Uomo, which it's a trade show. It happens twice a year, one's coming up in Florence, and there's some interesting sort of news tied to you guys in that.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to be attending the trade show. It's in normally in January and in June. So I'm going to be wearing obviously our suits for the event. Usually a 4-day event is happening in January from the 8th through the 11th. Now in the second week of January, and the other one for the summer is in June. So it is very interesting because it happens a lot inside. Everything is manufactured. You can find suits already made, suspenders, cufflinks, shoes, hats, everything already made. But a lot is happening outside. People are getting photographed. If you look it up, all the pictures that show up in the New York Times and everything, it happens there. It's almost like the New York Fashion Week for menswear. So it's very important to be there and get photographed there. So we're going to be there. So it's very important for us and for the brand because it's the first big event that we're going to be showing our pieces there.
So, Mark, people have different body designs. I know you watch my nightly television show, and you've made nice comments to me about saying you should change the way you look. No, you've been very nice about that. But what about, you know, listen, not everybody's built like a model. Not everybody has these fantastic body shapes and body designs and all of that. So how do you work with people who are of all sorts of forms? I know you said this business started with your mom, who was more of a larger size.
You know, the beauty of our business is, Paul, that we don't even talk about size. It's about fit. So if I have a female client for whom I'm designing, I'm actually making the pattern on her body. We're draping fabric. We're seeing what actually accentuates the positive and camouflages the negative. And so, it's about fit. And again, everyone should have the opportunity to look as beautiful as they can or as handsome as they can, and they have that opportunity when they have bespoke or, you know, couture finishing. So I'm a firm believer that body type means absolutely nothing to me. We could make you look good,
And you have. I mean, I emceed the Silver Lining Foundation Gala, and I know you. That's a charity very close to you. And one of the things you've done in the past with my WGN colleague Micah Mater, you've designed some things for her. And when I did it this year, you were kind enough to say, "Hey, let me work with you in designing a tuxedo and a vest and all of that." So I kind of went through that process that you're talking about. It does make a good difference when you're wearing something that you feel good in.
Sure,
that makes a difference. But I want you to talk for a moment. I mentioned the charity work and maybe the fact that you're a lawyer and you're a doctor, Eli, lets you do this, but that is very important to you. I mean, for a lot of people, it's, I want to be in business, I want to get rich and all of that. You donate and give so much to the world of charity, and that's part of who you are.
Thank you. My mom passed away from cancer about 13 years ago. And so it was our way to give back to our community. And so we teamed with Silver Lining Foundation, which is, as you're aware, is founded by Dr. Sandy Goldberg and her husband, Gregory Hines. And they raised money to help pay for mammograms and other diagnostic testing for men and women in the Chicagoland area who can't afford to otherwise pay for that. And so each year we do a couple events for them, but our main event is at the Peninsula Hotel. It's a fashion show. We bring 10 local designers together and raise money for the organization. The entire event is underwritten by A. Merrick Jewelry in Oak Brook, and so 100% of all the proceeds that we generate pay for are directed to a Silver Lining Foundation. Eli and I have also decided, as I have done with my women's couture line, that a portion of our proceeds generated from the sale of our garments are also donated to a Silver Lining Foundation. And so that is our way of giving back to the community in which we live and in memory of our family members who have died from cancer.
That's so important. And Eli, again, you are a physician, so you and I know you have hospice patients, so right, you deal with this all the time, and I appreciate and respect that. So we talked a lot about suits and jackets and all of that, but the truth is, and I'm looking at you guys and just the ties that you're wearing, which are beautiful, and so Eli, part of the design is also just a tie. So when it comes to men, the good news for men is I think we can get away with maybe repeating a suit, doing something that maybe a woman would say, I can't get away with that, but we can just change it up with the shirt, the tie, and all of that, or the pocket square. Those seem to be back. Sure. I'm noticing pocket squares everywhere. Sure. And that's very important.
Correct. Yeah, it depends on if you wear a suit every day or not. I think you can definitely make different types of combinations. From a three-piece suit, do not have to wear a vest, that makes a completely different suit, different ties, different colors, or matching a jacket with different pants or just jeans during the summer, or lighter colors. So definitely we can make different type of combinations than maybe women cannot do.
You know, and Mark, you gave me this little fashion tip. Let's share it with everybody. For people who do wear, I've just learned to wear bow ties because I've learned how to make them recently. You've helped me do that because apparently I was looking like Bozo the Clown, which was fine because I work at WGN TV and that's where Bozo is from. But it probably wasn't a good idea. And you very politely said, no, here's how you need to do that better. But and there are other anchors at WGN who will wear ties and pocket squares. And you gave me this little, when I buy a bow tie, the way you seem to buy them, it's like a combo. It's a pocket square tie combo, and that's what I used to wear. And you saw me once and said, no. What is that fashion tip?
Well, the fashion tip is that the tie and the pocket square should not match each other. They should not be created from the same fabric, but instead a complementary fabric, so that they blend together, but they don't match. And so that's, there are manufacturers who create those combined ensembles, and that's fine. But the look that we're, the aesthetic that we're creating has a little bit more interest to it, and that's why we like to mix and match different patterns in our line. So
women who are listening will say, okay, that's great for men, but what about a fashion tip for me? So do you have something that you can offer women to say, yeah, here's something good for you? Mark, you're the master of women's design.
It's, you know, I think it's the same thing for men and women, you know.
Don't match your pocket square.
Don't match your pocket square. Yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss for an answer on that one.
Ah. Oh, well, let me ask you. I mean, depending on the cut of a dress or something like that, because sometimes, again, I'm not an expert, but I might see maybe a woman in a certain dress and just going, I don't know if that's maybe the one you should be wearing.
It is. It's about, for me, it's about understanding your body and what looks good on your body and your silhouette, and also being age appropriate. You know, there are different phases in our lives where what looked good on us, you know, in our 20s, even if you have a rocking body, you know, just may be inappropriate when you're in your 40s. In your 50s. And so it's not being afraid to age and age gracefully and knowing that there is a certain silhouette that looks good on you at a certain age and to be comfortable with, you know, within your own skin.
So, Eli, seeing that you wear a lot of vintage things, and I'm not exactly a young guy anymore, so is that part of the design effect you would do? Would you talk to a client and say, okay, no, you don't want to go there? If I came to you and said, I want to wear something, and you felt, you know, hey, Paul, you're not 20 anymore, you're not 30, is that the kind of advice you're going to give me, or will you say, well, if that's what you want, then I guess that's what we'll do?
It's a combination of, obviously, we're going to have a label, so we want to make sure that it's something that we feel comfortable in terms that is part of our brand, but it's also age appropriate. So we are ready to push the envelope a little bit because we're definitely fashion forward, but it also has to be age appropriate. I do believe that we can work a little bit. For example, it doesn't matter if you are 50 or 60, you can still push the envelope a little bit more. Here in the Midwest or here in the U.S., we can definitely, you know, Europeans are a little bit more fashion forward. We can definitely push the envelope a little bit more, and that's what our brand is about.
You know, Mark, I've always heard, Eli would know this maybe even better, but like that our sizes, like when we put on a medium or a large, mm-hmm. apparently that you guys, fashion people, have learned that we don't want to feel as big as we are. So when we put on, or maybe I think it's like the numbers, if you put on a belt that says 38, it's really not a 38, it's really like a 70, but we don't want to feel that. Is that true?
There is a psychological component too, and that's why when we do custom, we never even talk about size. It's all about fit. And you know, even taking off what Eli was saying, is just really understanding your body type. There, you know, we're looking at an age where the thin slack, the 7-inch slack and the shorter jacket profile is being worn by a lot of men. It looks great on someone like Eli who, you know, has a 30-inch waist. But, you know, for someone like me, it looks like I'm just wearing clothes that are too small for me. So, you know, you really have to understand your body in the selection process.
It's fascinating stuff. And, again, I think people, I mean, again, if you're in a public world like I am, but even if you work with business clients, whatever it is, you need to be careful about how you look. You need to pay attention to how you look. Once again, people that want to check out, it's a new line. It's a new design. But let's give the information again for people that just want to check out the work you do.
Sure. It's Eli Roscoe, at Eli Roscoe on Instagram, at Roscoe Couture on Instagram, and Mark Roscoe Design on the web.
All right. Mark Roscoe and Dr. Eli Soto, thanks for the work you do for charity. Good luck on this venture in the world of men's fashion. Continued good luck in the world of women's fashion. I thank you so much.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
And welcome back to The Opening Bell. Again, I'm WGN-TV's Paul Lisnick in for Steve Grzanich this morning. And on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, let's take a look at some of those numbers. The S&P down just over 65 points. The NASDAQ down 140 points. Over in Europe, we're looking at the FTSE down just over 35 points. The CAC down just under 68 points. And in Asia, the Shanghai down over 6.5, and the Hang Seng down 102 points plus. Now, let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities with the great Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. The question is, on Wall Street, did a day off make a difference? The markets closed yesterday. They'll be open normal trading hours today and through Friday, and then we'll shut down on New Year's Day next week. But some big questions yet in the stock market, according to the overnight trade in some of the foreign markets. But we focus on agriculture. And just a reminder where we ended Monday when the market closed for Christmas. March wheat was up 2 cents a bushel. March corn down 0.75 cents. January soybeans down 0.5 cents. And at the Mercantile Exchange, the April lean hog contract down 37 cents a hundredweight, but the December live cattle contract up 37 cents a hundredweight, January feeder cattle up 12 cents a hundredweight. Hog traders at the Mercantile Exchange today will keep an eye on another African swine fever story out of China. China has detected the African swine fever virus in some protein powders made using pork blood and manufactured by a Tianjin-based company. The raw material for the 73 tons of contaminated protein products mainly used in animal feed came from 12 different slaughterhouses. China has already reported more than 90 cases of African swine fever. It's deadly for hogs, but does not harm humans. So that is one of the stories that will continue certainly into the new year. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. The WGN number on the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook. Let's take a look at today, some of the things that could be impacting things on Wednesday, December 26th, 2018. The Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index, that's out today, gauging the overall industry activity. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index, that's released later this morning. No scheduled earning report on the calendar today, but we will see normal trading with the opening bell kicking off the day at 8:30 a.m. That is Chicago time. That is just some of the things that could move the market on Wednesday, December 26th, 2018.